Well, this is the time when we release our children and volunteers for Children's Church. If I know there's going to be a little bit short because some of them may be staying in here for the deacon ordination of family members, but I want to release you guys to head that way for those that are able to go and be part of that. Well, this morning is an exciting morning. For our church and for some, I've been elected by this church to serve as deacons. It is always an honor when the church feels like you are demonstrating the spiritual maturity to ask you to lead. But it's also very humbling to be asked to lead. And understanding that leadership is often a very difficult process. The most important thing is having a humble spirit. And I could not be more pleased about the men that have been asked to serve as deacons by this church. It's exciting, and I believe there are men who have demonstrated, just in the short 3 years that I've been here, have demonstrated a love for the Lord, a love for the church, and a love for this community, and a love for the lost. So, I'm excited about being a part of this and being a part of ordaining these men to be deacons. We had an ordination council this morning at 9:30, and I'm so thankful for the men that came and served in that council, we'll be reporting from that in just a few minutes. But I want to remind you in this next few minutes, briefly, what the Scripture says about deacons. And also give them a charge as deacons to remind them, and we've talked about it a lot, and I preached about it when we started electing the deacons. We've been talking about it since they've been elected in deacons' meetings and this morning in the council, but I want to remind them publicly about what it means to be a deacon and how they can serve well. But I also want to remind the church. So I'll bring a charge to the church and remind us what our role as a church is. When we do ask people to lead, what does that mean for us? And how can we help them serve well? And how can we help them do what God has called them and us to do? We want to be successful in the things of God as a body of believers. So if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We're going to start out 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this is one of the passages in Scripture that everybody knows about. It talks about what it means to be a deacon, but there's three things I want us to look at as we discover this passage and as we walk through this passage and unpack it. First of all, what are the qualities of a deacon? What are the things that should be evident? And hopefully you as a church have prayed over these before you elected these guys and you saw these qualities in them, but I want to remind them of these qualities that they've been elected to exemplify. And why is it important to be growing in these qualities? I want to remind these men that it's not that they have arrived, but it's something that needs to be a continual process in their lives of growing and becoming the men that God has called them to be and you as a church have called them to be. But also how to keep growing in those qualities. How do you accomplish that? So those three things we're going to address to the deacons. But then I'm going to address to the church, what is your role? All right? So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would stand with me as we read God's Word, we're going to begin in chapter 8. Paul is writing to a young pastor and telling him how to call men and to develop deacons and what he should look for in the leadership of deacons. So beginning in verse 8, it says, "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, and or addicted to much wine, or be fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mysteries of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be the husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who serve well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth." Drop down with me to chapter 4, verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the word of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you've been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to this time as we have set aside these men to serve as deacons, to serve as servants. But God, it is not an easy task. Leadership is difficult. Leadership, especially in your church, Lord, is beyond any mortal man's ability to accomplish. And these qualities that you have set aside as what we're supposed to be growing into and to be exemplifying in our lives, God, they're not easy. They're supernaturally produced. So God, today I pray that, Lord, this would be a day of celebration, a day of conviction, a day of encouragement, a day of just bringing glory to your name as we strive to serve you faithfully in this place and to accomplish the purpose that you've given us. God, to help one another love God completely, love others sacrificially, share the gospel with the lost, and to make disciples of all the nations. God, may that be our purpose. May that be what we strive for. May that be what we do personally in our lives. God, we love you, we praise you, and ask your blessing on this time. Change our hearts, challenge us, encourage us, and equip us for the work of service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul's writing to a young pastor that he has sent to lead a church and to develop leaders within that church. And he tells them what pastors should look like, elders, in the beginning of chapter 3, what their qualifications or qualities should be when you're calling someone to pastor. But then he goes on to the leaders also of deacons, and he gives some qualities of deacons. And in verses 8 through 12, he reminds us of what those qualities are. These are the qualities that we look for in the men that we're going to call into leadership and to help us as a church stay focused on what we're supposed to be doing and to accomplish what God says we're to accomplish. So he says, deacons, like elders or like pastors, must be men of dignity. That doesn't mean stoic. That doesn't mean never laugh. I mean, we have got so messed up in the Baptist church that we think if you're dignified means you got to sit here like this. And we're really good at being dignified. What we're really good at is being boring. It's not dignified. David danced before the Ark of the Covenant as he brought it into Jerusalem, and man, his wife was sitting up there, and she was just fit to be tied because the king was dancing in his loincloth before the Ark of the Covenant as they come in. And she began to scold him and said, "Oh, you made yourself look like something out there before all the women, and man, you're just out there dancing and acting a fool." David said, "Look, I'll get more undignified than this to celebrate my God." Dignity is not stoicism. Dignity is not long-faced pouting and looking mean. Dignity is living a life of truth. Living a life that's beyond reproach. He says, look, you are to be men of dignity. Men who don't carry on foolishness. You can be happy. You can have fun. You can do all kinds of things and be dignified. When you get undignified is when you start dishonoring God. When you start living a lie. He says, look, be men of dignity. Be men that people can follow. Be men that are respectable. Be men that others can look up to and say, hey, when I grow up spiritually, I want to be like that man. That's living a life of dignity. He says, goes on from there, not double-tongued. In other words, not a liar. Don't say one thing to one group to pacify them and say something to somebody else to pacify them. Stick with the truth. Be an encourager. Be someone that listens. But your job as a deacon is not to make everybody happy. It's to follow the Lord, to love people, to serve people, and to serve them into service, and to help them accomplish what God has called them to accomplish. And sometimes that means you've got to say things that people don't want to hear. You've got to be for things that a few people are against. You've got to be willing to take criticism. You can't be double-tongued. And that's the hardest thing of leadership, especially for most of us. Most of us that have a servant's heart and want to lead, and God's called us to lead, and He's given us a love for people, we want to be loved by people. And one of the hardest things to do is know that no matter what you do, some people just aren't going to let you love them. And some people aren't going to love you. And that's okay. Men, deacons, you serve for an audience of one. You serve a lot of people. You're here to serve the multitude. Jesus said the one who wants to be first in the kingdom must be the servant of all. The one that wants to be the most valuable in the kingdom must be the slave of all. You're called to serve, and I'm called to serve. But we're to lead in that service. We're to encourage other people into that service. And just because you're leading in love, and just because you want to see people serve and you want to see the kingdom grow, doesn't mean that everybody's going to be happy with every decision you make. That's okay. Serve the Lord first. Invite others to come along and serve with you, and help them to grow in service and in love for one another and the Lord. It says, don't be addicted to much wine. Gentlemen, there's nothing good that comes from alcohol. Alcohol will not send you to hell. You can drink a beer and go to heaven, that's fine. But there is nothing good about alcohol. It will not help you honor God in your own personal life. It will not help you be a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will not help you to encourage other people to walk a life of discipline, a life of dignity before the Lord. Every bad thing that happens in this world, alcohol is associated with it. Spousal abuse, addiction, car wrecks, death. There's nothing good that comes from alcohol. It's not bad of itself. It's not going to cause you to go to hell, but it will enslave you. So deacons, I want to encourage you, stay away from alcohol. It says, don't be addicted to much wine. Best way not to get addicted, stay away from it. Ain't nothing good going to come from it. Church, that's a word for you too. Ain't nothing good comes from it. Yeah, legally, according to Scripture, drinking a beer is not going to send you to hell. Absolutely. But there is nothing good that will come from it. It will not help you honor the God in your life. It will not help you honor God in public. If it doesn't help you to honor God, stay away from it. Not just alcohol, that's anything. So, he says, don't be given to much wine. Don't be double-tongued. Be men of dignity. Don't be fond of sordid gain. In other words, don't be a cheat. Don't be out for how you can make the most money for the least amount of effort and who you can get over to get it. Second of all, it also means, deacon, you should be a tither. Like I ask, will you rob God? No, we don't rob God. Well, you don't pay your tithe. You don't bring your tithe into the storehouse. When you don't tithe, you're robbing God. That's being fond of sordid gain. When you don't give generously to the work of the kingdom, whether it's through your tithe or offerings, which is something totally different from your tithe. When God puts an opportunity in front of you to invest in kingdom things, then you need to be willing and ready to invest generously into kingdom work. Annie Armstrong, all these other offerings that we take up, the children's home, all these things that we do, doesn't mean you have to give to all of them. But you need to prayerfully consider and prayerfully give. Be a man of generosity. The opposite of being fond of sordid gain is being a man of generosity. We need to be men as leaders of generosity. Generous with our time, generous with our talents, generous with the finances, generous with the resources that God's given us. We should be seen and known as generous people. But holding, says he goes through the negatives, don't do this, but these are the things that you should do. But holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. In other words, you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. Not only what you believe, but then living it out. You've tested what you say you believe. You can ask most anybody in church, and I'm just going to go with finances because that's the easiest one to pick on. Do you think you should tithe? Do you think God will bless you if you tithe? Yeah, I believe that. Do you tithe? Well, not regularly. So you really don't believe it then, do you? Do you believe that we should forgive people that have hurt us? That we should have a forgiving heart and a forgiving spirit? Yeah, man, the Bible teaches we're supposed to forgive. Well, how are you doing in that? Well, you know, there's just some people. Well, you really don't believe it then. Holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience means that you don't just believe it, you put it into practice. Because if you're not practicing it, guess what? You really don't believe it. If you're a James chapter 4 Christian, a James chapter 1 Christian, you say you have faith, but you have no works. Faith that has no works is dead, useless. If your belief doesn't change the way you behave, it's just a good idea. It's not faith. So deacons should be men of faith, men who put the Word of God into practice in their lives. They should hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They should know who Jesus is and be able to share their faith in Jesus, the truth about Jesus, the gospel with others. Because likewise, women, wives, must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons, wives, you don't get out of this. You're going to be held to a higher standard by God, just like your deacon husband is. You are to be a model of the faith to the church, where younger women can look up to you and say, hey, I want to be like her when I grow up spiritually. I want to follow her in her footsteps. I want to love my husband like she loves her husband. I want to be a woman of faith like she is a woman of faith. You're to live as an example to the church of what a godly woman looks like. And then he says, why is it important that we do it? It tells us in verses 13 through 15, for those who serve well as deacons, in other words, deacon well. Those who deacon well obtain for themselves a good standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. First of all, there is a personal benefit. There is respect that comes when you live out and you serve well as a deacon. But I want you to hear this. Respect is earned. It's not voted on. Okay? The church has seen some qualities in you that matches up with Scripture, and they have said, hey, we think these men will be good examples of what it means to be a godly man and to help us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, but that doesn't mean you're done. You need to deacon well. You need to serve well, and in that service, you will gain much respect. Now, how do you know when you gain the respect of the church? It's when they start coming to you for advice. Hey, I'm struggling here in my marriage. Can you pray for me? I'm struggling in this relationship. Can you pray for me? Can you tell me what do I need to do? I've made this mistake. I've messed up. I've fallen into sin, and I didn't mean to, but I've been trapped or entangled in this sin. You're the man that they come to for help and encouragement and guidance. You're the man they come to and have confidence that they can share with you their deepest hurts, their sins, their failures, and know they're not going to be judged, but they'll be encouraged. They'll be prayed for. They will be walked along beside as they grow and come out of this sin and struggle that they're in. That's respect. It's not being held up on a high pedestal and called deacon. Oh, this is Deacon Jones. I'd like to introduce you to Deacon Jones. That's not the respect that he's talking about. When you deacon well, people will begin to respect you, and they'll begin to come to you and see the spiritual growth. They'll come to you with their problems. They'll come to you with their rejoicing. They will come to you for prayer requests. They'll come to you for encouragement. You will be a man that people are drawn to when you deacon well, when they see a heart of a servant filled with love. So there's great personal gain. You'll have a good standing in the church. You'll have a good standing with the community. You'll have a good standing with lost people. They'll see the difference in your life. But also, even more importantly than that, you'll have great confidence in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. You know, this is the desire of my heart above anything else, I think. You know, there's a passage that we like to quote. It says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It tells us in Hebrews that because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can boldly come before the throne of grace. We can come in confidence to God. Well, men, when we deacon well, when you serve well, when you follow the Lord and you let these qualities that are mentioned just before this grow in your life and becomes evident to other people, not only will people respect you and people come to you for advice, but when you pray, things will happen. And I'm telling you, that's what I want more than anything, that when I pray, God listens. When I pray, God acts. When I pray, it makes a difference. Man, I'm tired of praying prayers that seem like they don't get past the ceiling. I'm tired of praying prayers that don't seem to have any effect in the world. I want to be a man of prayer that makes a difference. See, when you deacon well, you can have confidence in the faith, because when you pray, God listens and God acts. Because your heart is in tune with God. Your heart is seeking after what God wants. Your wants are His wants. Your love is His love. Your desire is His desire. And as you're growing in these qualities, people begin to see you. They begin to come and ask you to pray for them. They come to ask you to intervene on their behalf. They come and ask you for advice. And you can go to God and pray and know that God is listening and God is going to work, because a righteous man is praying. Makes a difference in our prayers. We can have faith. We can have confidence in the gospel that we share. You can give people advice from biblical advice and know that it's going to work because you've seen it work in your own life. We talk about tithing and you can't outgive God. Well, if you're a deacon and you tithe on a regular basis, God's going to bless you. He's promised that. He's going to provide what you need. And you can talk to these younger men who are struggling with whether they can afford to tithe, and you can confidently tell them, hey, you can't afford not to. This is where I was at. This is what I started. I surrendered, not so that I would be blessed, but I surrendered in obedience to God and started saying, hey, God, I'm gonna start dealing in your economy. And I started tithing even though I couldn't afford it. And this is what God has done to bless our family and how He's seen us through these difficult days. You'll have a witness and you'll have a confidence in the advice that you give because you've seen it firsthand work in your own life. When you deacon well, when you serve well, when you're letting these qualities become more and more of who you are and grow more and more in your life, there's great personal gain. But also, It's a confidence that God is going to do what God says He will do. Then in verse 15, how do you keep these qualities, or why do we do it? There is a corporate responsibility. Verse 15, but in case I delay, I'm writing so that you will know how one who ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of faith. We didn't produce the truth. We didn't produce faith, the pillars and support of truth. A pillar is something that holds something up. It holds it up above. We're to hold up the truth. The problem is we've been pretty good at holding up the truth in the church. The problem is we hadn't been a very good support of the truth. See, when the church is given the responsibility, we're given the truth of God in His Word. We're given the truth of God through the Holy Spirit. And we are to be the pillar of that truth. We're to lift that truth up before men. We're to declare the truth. We're to live the truth. We're to put it up where people can see the truth and be drawn to Jesus Christ. But we're also to be the support of the truth. You know how truth gains relevance to people? They see it working in your life. The church is the household of faith. The church is the household of the living God. We are the pillar of truth. We are the support of truth. We're to uphold the truth before the people. But then we're to live out the truth so they can see that the truth really is true. How do you know if truth is truth? You see how it works itself out. You test it. You see the results. This is what God says, so I put it to the test. This is what God did. It must be the truth. So we're to lift up the truth. We're to preach the truth. We're to talk the truth. We're to share the truth. But we're to support the truth by living radically different in the truth so that people will know that God is real, His Word is true, and His way is the best way because they see it lived out in our life. So how do we keep these growing? Drop down to verse 6. Pointing these things out, brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the word of faith and of the sound doctrine which you've been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Two things there. How do you keep these qualities growing in your life? How do you continue to mature men as deacons, as godly men, as godly examples? First of all, you study, you constantly nourish yourself on the Word of God. Like never before in your life, men. This is not just for deacons, but this is for men in general. Never before in your life has there been a greater need for the nourishing of men in the Word of God. Deacons, you've never needed the Word of God like you need it today. You new deacons, you've never needed the Word of God in your life like you need it from here on out. You need to constantly nourish yourself in the Word of faith. You need to spend time in the Word of God. You need to spend time in the presence of God. You need to spend the time in the conversation with God. And that's not talking about here at church. This is day to day, constantly throughout your day, talking with God, meditating on the Word of God that you studied that morning. You need to saturate your soul, your heart, and your mind with the Word of God. Nourish yourself on His Word. That's true for all of us, not just deacons. But deacons especially, if you're going to deacon well, you need to do that. Second of all, says you need to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Don't read the Bible just to memorize Scripture. Don't nourish your body and never put it into practice. It says discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. What is godliness? Living out the Word of God, putting it into practice in your life. Deacons, the greatest thing you can do is put God's Word into practice. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Not just to impress people, not even just to be a good deacon, but to be a godly servant of the body of Christ and the community in which God has called us to reach. We're to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness because that's the only thing that matters for eternity. You can put away all you want to for retirement. You can discipline yourself in saving. You can discipline yourself in not eating much food. You can discipline yourself to where you run 10 miles a day. I don't recommend it, but you can. He says, bodily discipline is really of very little significance, importance. Doesn't mean don't do it. Take care of yourself. But he says, only the discipline of godliness has promise for this life and the life to come. So, deacons, you need to make sure that these qualities are in your life. You need to make sure that you're growing in these qualities. And how do you test that? Have you earned the respect of people? Are they coming to me for advice and for direction? Are they coming to me not just with their problems with the church and want me to fix the pastor and make him do what they want him to do? That's not your job. Your job is to serve the people, serve the gospel, follow Christ. And we'll all be on the same page if that's what we're after. Then church, what about you? We've been talking about deacons. I don't want to leave you out because there is responsibility. You've called these men to lead, so what's your responsibility as a body of believers? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I can just hear it in some of you's minds. Yeah, you need to tell them deacons. This is what they need to be doing. You need to get on them deacons, make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, you. Hey, deacons, are y'all listening? That's what you're thinking. Now here's something for you, church. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. Through Him, who? Jesus. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. This is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Church, we're all in this together. We're all after the same thing, to honor Jesus Christ. All throughout Hebrews, the writer's been talking about the sufficiency of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, that He's a better sacrifice, He's a better high priest. He's been lifting up Christ, and He ends this whole letter, and He says, look, this is what should result. Through Him, through Jesus Christ, then let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. We should be praising God, not complaining about leadership. We should be praising God and seeking after God, talking up God, rather than talking down leadership and worship style and the songs we sing and what we do or what we don't do. I don't like this, I don't like that. That's not offering praise to God. That's not the fruit of lips that brings glory to God. Church, your responsibility is to pray for your leaders, to encourage your leaders. It's not your job to talk them down, gripe about them, fuss about every decision that's made. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. It's not about you being comfortable. It's about the kingdom. It's not about you being happy. It's about honoring God and reaching the lost. Second thing He says, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. He tells that the church that they should be doing good. Church, it's not the leadership's responsibility to do ministry. It's not the deacon's responsibility to go visit the shut-in by themselves. It's not the deacon's responsibility to make sure everything works right and does right. It's their responsibility to lead and to serve, but it's your responsibility to get in there with them and do the work. It's amazing to me. In most churches that I've been in, the greatest complaints come from the people that do the least. The greatest complaints come from those that give the least. We hired a pastor, and we called deacons. That's their job. That is not biblical. Ephesians chapter 4 says the leadership of the church should be equipping the saints for the works of service. Their job is to equip you. Their job is to serve you. Their job is to help you in service and develop ways to serve and the gifts that you've been given. And you as a church are responsible to not neglect doing good or sharing, generously giving to kingdom work, generously giving of time and energy, of prayer, of finances, reaching out to those. It's these sacrifices that God's pleased with. The third thing it says that the church is supposed to be doing is obeying their leaders. Now, I've told you this before. Don't take my word for anything. If I preach it from this pulpit, I promise you, I've studied, I've prayed, and I'm trying to rightly divide the Word of God, but I'm human, and sometimes I'll make mistakes. Don't take my word for it. You go study the Bible. You read, you see. And if there's something that I preach, or if there's something that I'm leading this church to do that goes against Scripture, then you have an obligation, you have a responsibility to come to me and say, preacher, help me understand this. I can't see where you're coming from here. I think this is going against what the Bible says. I think this is going, this is the passage. Don't come with your opinion. Don't come with what you like and don't like. Come with Scripture. That's the same thing as the deacons. If they're not doing what deacons are supposed to, not what you think deacons ought to do, not what you want deacons to do, but it's scriptural. If we're going against Scripture, then by all means call our attention to it and we will repent and we'll do something different. And if we don't, then God help us, then it's okay to ask us to leave, to step down, but not just because we hadn't made you happy. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, not to you, not to the Southern Baptist Convention, but to God Himself. And I promise you, I'm a lot scareder of God than I am of you. So I'm very careful when I say, thus says the Lord. I'm very careful when I say, this is what I think the Bible says we need to do. But I am human. I am frail. And there's a right and a wrong way to call somebody attention to what they're messing up on. Always in love. The desire of restoration. So obey your leadership. It says, submit to them. And let them do this. Let them lead with joy and not with grief. I'm telling you, one of the saddest things in churches today is when you just can't find men that are willing to be deacons because they know how the church treats deacons. It's a sad thing when you talk to pastors and worship leaders and they're trying to honor God. They're doing everything that they can to reach the lost and to lead the church. And man, the church is just hammering and making what should be the greatest opportunity in the world is to lead the church of Christ, to accomplish the purpose of Christ. But the church is making it so unenjoyable because it's all about me and what I want. Nitpicking instead of celebrating God. Ministry should be a joy. It's not always going to be easy. It's going to be hard times. It's going to require the power of God and the presence of God and the leadership of God. But it should be a joy. And the only way it can be profitable for the church is that it is a joy. It says, lead the church. We shouldn't have to drag the church. We shouldn't have to push the church. But to lead the church to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. So deacons, you've got a great responsibility. Church, you've got a great responsibility. But God is able. We serve a living God. We serve a powerful God. We serve a loving God. We serve an able God. And everything that we've talked about in Scripture today is possible. Possible as a deacon, possible as a church, possible for all of us to see God move in great ways. But we've got to submit to Him in our leadership and our following. Submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and the leaders that He set in front of you. You called these men. You voted on these men. Maybe you didn't vote for them. That's okay. The church did submit to the church and their leadership. I'm going to pray and we're going to go into the time where we're going to have these men come up and sit in these three chairs. We're going to have the ordained men to line up on the left side over here in this wall. And we're going to come by and give you an opportunity to speak some encouragement into their lives and pray over them. Make it short, make it sweet. Church, while you're sitting there and these men are praying over them specifically, you be praying over them and you be praying for this church. And you be praying that God will use us to make a difference. I'm going to pray. Then you three men come up and the rest of the ordained men, whether you're from here or not in this church, if you're ordained as a deacon in another church, you come right over here with us and you pray over these men. All right? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your great love. We thank You for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We thank You for these men and the calling You've placed on their lives, acknowledged by the church. So God, I pray that You'd help them to understand fully the weight of the responsibility that they have. And I, after talking with them and visiting with them and spending time with them, I know they understand that. But God, help it become a time of joy as You promise to equip them to do what only You can do if they'll submit to You. So God, I pray that You'd continue to develop in them a teachable spirit. You'd continue to develop in them a servant's heart. Continue to grow these qualities in their lives. And God, help us as a church to be a church that wants to follow You, to reach the world, to attack the gates of hell that You've promised can't prevail against us. We're seeking after You and following You. Let us be good followers. Let us be men and women who seek out ways to do good and live generously. May you be glorified in and through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.